final case for argument this morning is United States against Jordan. Mr. Phillip.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Tom Phillip. I represent Kevin Jordan. There were two issues in the briefing on this case, and one has essentially been foreclosed by this court's decision in Shawndale Jamison. That was an ex post facto issue. The court issued the Jamison decision in midsummer, and I submitted a supplemental authority letter in July. The government submitted one recently as well. I think that issue really is foreclosed, and I don't intend to argue it today. The other issue remains the reasonableness of Jordan's sentence. The guideline range for Jordan was 110 to 137 months. He received 240 months. Our position is that was an unreasonable sentence. The history of the case, just briefly, began in October of 2002 when Jordan and a juvenile female, age 15, initials KW, met online. They arranged to meet. Jordan picked up KW, and they went to Ohio, where they engaged in sexual intercourse. About 6 months later, in April of 2003, KW wanted to return to Wisconsin, so she made arrangements to do that and returned. They had contact, it's a little unclear, maybe as late as June, maybe as late as October of 2003. In October, then, Jordan starts to send letters and emails to KW's aunt. Jordan also attempts suicide in Ohio. In November, then, Jordan drives by the aunt's home twice, I believe, and he's arrested after falling apart or collapsing at a local mall. And hotel staff where he was residing at a hotel found a gun in his garbage can, I believe.
I want to ask, I want to take you somewhere else.
Certainly.
Not in a car. Okay. Could an upward departure have been possible here?
I would think, I would argue no, that it couldn't have been possible. Now, obviously, given the court's comments just in the previous argument, talking of departures is maybe the wrong phrase, but in responding
in the world
at that time.
Booker.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think so. The one section of the guidelines that may have promoted an upward departure would be the, I think it's 5K2.8, heinous conduct, something to that effect. I don't think that the facts of this case...
Also the criminal history ground. Your client has told the court that as soon as he gets out, as soon as he has a chance, he's going to go right back to committing this crime because he views underage girls as easier to seduce. And normally that leads to a substantial upward departure where the defendant says, I'm incorrigible, live with it.
Well, two responses to that. One, I believe his criminal history was taken into consideration by the 4B1.5 jump, the repeat and dangerous offender against minors. Also, I say that there was a contest at sentencing about whether he was incorrigible. The government certainly argued that he was. The report from Butner, the psychological report, stated that he did have some openness to treatment. I think it was simply a contested issue. The judge chose to fall on the side of the government on whether or not Jordan was, excuse me, redeemable or not.
Now, should we take into consideration the fact that I take it Mr. Jordan was advised of the statutory maximum when he pled guilty?
Yes, he was certainly advised of that,
right.
And that's a point that's not contestable. He certainly was aware of that possibility. And Jordan was in an odd spot in that Booker came out on the morning that his sentencing was originally scheduled. Had he been sentenced the day before, I think we would be talking about perhaps an upward departure. But the court didn't give any notice of that in the pre-sentence.
Which was the Supreme Court's Booker?
January 12th,
right.
Yes.
Our Booker had been decided 7 months earlier.
Correct. And I apologize now, I lost the thread of the court's question.
Well, what I was wondering was how... Had there been an upward departure, how high could, the judge have gone? I mean,
well, had he given reasons under the guidelines and in his application of those things, he could have gone as high as the maximum. I'm doing this off the top of my head. It might be a six or seven, maybe eight level upward departure to get to 240 months at that criminal history under the guidelines. The question, I guess, is what ground the court would have used to accomplish that upward departure. And once again, I believe that there aren't sufficient facts in this case that would warrant an upward departure of that magnitude. To put it one way, Jordan is essentially a garden variety offender. This case is not one where there's violence. This is not an abduction. The juvenile was not...
There's almost never violence in of that sort in child sex abuse cases.
I can only argue the case that I have in front of me, and I don't necessarily disagree with the court, but in the case that's in front of us, there just isn't violence. And this case could have been worse. A different offender could have done worse things and thus deserved a higher sentence.
Well, if he had done worse things, like shooting the aunt with the gun, then he would have been charged with murder.
But he would have been charged differently.
Indeed, be higher.
Yes. Yes.
I think that we have to deal with the stalking aspect of his conduct, because perhaps that distinguishes it to some degree from other cases involving the sexual assault of a minor. That, you know...
If I can respond to maybe where I think the court is asking, the stalking offense as well, I would say, is more of the garden variety. That statute, 2261, has four separate penalty provisions that increase depending upon the facts of the case. Jordan fell into the lowest penalty provision there, the five-year penalty provision, because he sent letters, he sent emails, he called on the phone and drove by. That's not, once again, the most egregious example of stalking, even in the lower penalty provision as applied to him. What I'm getting at is, I suppose, the idea of marginal deterrence. That's the idea that the worst sentence, the most harsh sentence, should be reserved for the worst offender.
If your client had to face the music in state court, he would have been facing a much longer sentence on this set of facts. So, I mean, if you're talking about comparing this to the vast universe of sex offenders, I don't know that argument is going to get you very far.
Well, once again, if he was charged somewhere else, I wouldn't be here. I don't mean to be flip with the court.
No, I understand that, but you're asking us to put this case in the context of all other possible sex offenders, and he's just sort of somewhere in the middle.
I guess what I'm asking the court to do is put this in the context of the sentencing guidelines, which have been adjusted upward a lot in this particular area, and Jordan fell into that 110 to 137 month range. I'm not asking the court to compare it to what may have happened in state court or what may have happened if he was charged with something else. What I am saying is that the guideline range here was 110 to 137. The district court almost doubled the low end of that range and went about 75% above the high end of that range. Both the Mikhaichuk and Dean cases say, basically, thematically, that we still have to pay attention to the guidelines. They're the product of 18 years of work and thought about things, and they're presumptively reasonable. The district court in this case went so far above them, I would say that the 240-month sentence becomes unreasonable when it's compared to the guidelines. The guidelines take into account all of the factors that Congress and the Commission thought relevant. They didn't miss anything in this case. The guidelines got everything they were supposed to get. That led to that range, and I think we can't discard that range.
Thank you, Mr. Phillip. Ms. Kraft.
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Carol Kraft. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I was not the government's counsel in the district court, but it is my privilege to be here this morning to address the issues that have been raised by this case. It is the government's position that the sentence that was imposed by Judge Griesbach in this case was reasonable and that this court should affirm that sentence. The government recognizes that guideline sentences, even after Booker, are presumptively reasonable, but I believe that there's nothing in the law that says a sentence above the guidelines is not unreasonable or is unreasonable if the court considers all the factors that are set forth in Title 18 United States Code 3553. And
well,
in this case,
yeah.
Judge Griesbach, I'm sorry.
I would suspect that much of what Judge Griesbach said in passing sentence, in other words, that the victim's family had been devastated, that Mr. Jordan was trolling on the internet for other victims, that he wasn't truly remorseful or open to treatment, that treatment was not likely to be successful, and that he posed a significant danger to the public would be true of most cases involving pedophiles. As was pointed out in the briefing, Congress and the Sentencing Commission were aware of those types of considerations and of the need for lengthy sentences. And for that reason, the relevant provisions of the guidelines were progressively beefed up in recent years. What I have been trying to figure out here, and of course, you know, it's appalling. It's an appalling case, but we deal with appalling cases. I have a hard time. What I've tried to deal with is what is so different in this case from the usual case of a pedophile as to call for a sentence that is so far beyond the guidelines range.
Okay, I understand your question. I'm not sure that I can advise the court what's so different about this case from the usual case, but I think it's very clear on the record what Judge Griesbach believed were the factors that made this sentence appropriate in this particular case. And I think that there's an ample record to support his conclusion. This is a man who began abusing children at least 18 years ago. Based on the evidence of the pre-sentence report, he was abusing his own child when she was either 3 or 4 years old. He was simulating intercourse with her while he was naked and telling people afterwards that this was a meaningful relationship for the two of them. He engaged in therapy after he was caught. During the therapeutic period, he indicated to the therapist that he had fantasized or fondled numerous other children between, I believe, 8 and 16 prior to the time that he entered therapy. Therapy was not successful with this man. In 2002, many years after that therapy intervention was attempted, he was trolling the internet for young girls, 13, 14, 15-year-old girls. The young woman who was his victim in this case was not the only young woman that he was corresponding with. And in fact, shortly before he was arrested, I would submit he was grooming another young woman to take the place of the woman who was the victim in count one of this case. He told, I believe it was the psychiatrist who evaluated him for competency, or perhaps it was the agent who investigated this, that he did not believe that man's laws prohibiting sex between adult males and children were good laws. And there was also some evidence that he was communicating with some individual who had a residence in Ecuador or a connection in Ecuador because he felt he could go there after this was all over and have relationships with young girls. I think that Judge Griesbach reasonably looked at all of these factors when he said the distinguishing thing here, and I think this is in the record, that makes a guideline sentence inadequate to protect the public is the history of this man engaged in pedophilic behaviors, exercising his own sexual proclivities against people, children, who should be protected. And when I read that he said this is not a guideline sentence is not adequate, not sufficient to protect the public, I heard him as saying to protect young girls, to protect children, and their families, like the victim in this case. And so I think that Judge Griesbach looked at the long history of this defendant and said 11 years, 137 months, is not adequate to provide that kind of protection. And so while I can't address how he would compare with other defendants who might fall under these guidelines, I believe that there's ample evidence in the record to support Judge Griesbach's sentence in this case, and that it was a reasonable sentence, and that it should be affirmed by this court. If the court has no more questions, I think I've kind of exhausted my argument.
Thank you, Ms. Kraft. Anything further, Mr. Phillip?
No.
All right, well, thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.